BBT Founder Acharya Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories to the assembled devotees. All glories Sri Sri Guru and Gauranga. Glories of Srila Prabhupada. Today we're reading from Chaitanya Charitamrita, Adi Leela, Chapter 2, Text 20 and 21. So I'll just read Text 20 and then we'll respond in Text 21. Atava bahune tena kim gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyaham idam krishnam Ekam sena stito jagat. The translation. The personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, said, "What more shall I say to you? I live throughout this cosmic manifestation merely by my single plenary portion." Purport. Describing his own potencies to Arjuna, the personality of Godhead, Sri Krishna, spoke this verse of the Bhagavad Gita, Chapter 10, Text 42. So we'll read that. In Bhaktivedanta Manor in August of 73, Prabhupada had me read so many shlokas from Bhagavad Gita. Every evening, he would speak to the guests coming. Of course, they weren't familiar with Bhagavad Gita, but nonetheless, Prabhupada had recently gotten this volume, Macmillan edition of Bhagavad Gita, and he was very, very happy. He was very proud of it. Very proud of in the back, the glossary, the verses in the back. So he was training all of us. When you speak from the law books. This is one of the times when he kept saying every night, these are the law books. These are our law books. This Bhagavad Gita, Srimad Bhagavatam, Chaitanya Charitamrita. So text 42 is, Atava bahuna tena kim gyatena tavarjuna vishtabhyam idam kristam ekam sena stito jagat. By what need is there, Arjuna, for all this detailed knowledge? With a single fragment of myself, I pervade and support this entire universe. Purport by His Divine Grace. The Supreme Lord is represented throughout the entire material universes by His entering into all things as Supersoul. The Lord here tells Arjuna that there is no point in understanding how things exist in their separate opulence and grandeur. He should know that all things are existing due to Krishna's entering them as Supersoul. From Brahma, the most gigantic entity, on down to the smallest ant, all are existing because the Lord has entered each and all and is sustaining them. There is a mission that regularly propounds that worship of any demigod will lead one to the Supreme Personality of Godhead or the Supreme Goal. But worship of demigods is thoroughly discouraged herein because even the greatest demigods like Brahma and Shiva represent only part of the opulence of the Supreme Lord. He is the origin of everyone born, and no one is greater than him. He is asamurdva, which means that no one is superior to him and no one is equal to him. In the Padma Purana, it is said that one who considers the Supreme Lord Krishna in the same category with demigods, be they even Brahma or Shiva, becomes at once an atheist. If, however, one thoroughly studies the different descriptions of the opulences and expansions of Krishna's energy, then one can understand without any doubt the position of Lord Sri Krishna and can fix his mind in the worship of Krishna without deviation. The The Lord is all-pervading by the expansion of his partial representation, the super soul, who enters into everything that is. Pure devotees, therefore, concentrate their minds and Krishna consciousness in full devotional service. They are always situated in the transcendental position. Devotional service and worship of Krishna are very clearly indicated in this chapter in verses 8 through 11. That is the way of pure devotional service. How one can attain the highest devotional perfection of association with the Supreme Personality of Godhead has been thoroughly explained in this chapter. Srila Baladeva Vidyabhushana, a great acharya in disciplic succession from Krishna, concludes his commentary on this chapter by saying, Yat chakti lasat suryadya bhavantyat yugra tejasaha yadam sena dvitam vishvam se krishno dasamayar chate. From Lord Krishna's potent energy, even the powerful sun gets its power. And by Krishna's partial expansion, the whole world is maintained. Therefore, Lord Sri Krishna is worshipable. That's the end of the 10th chapter. So now we'll... Text 21. Tam imam maham ajam sarira bhajam Vidi vidi dishtitam atma kalpitanam Prati drisham eva nakadarkam mekam Samadigato smi viduta beda muhaha Tam imam maham ajam sarira bhajam Ridi ridi dishtitam atma kalpitanam Prati drisham iva naika darkam mekam Samadhi gatos mi viduta beda mohaha Anyone? Tam imam maham majam sarira bhajam Vidi vidi dishtitam atma kalpitanam Prati drisham iva nakadarkam mekam Samadhi gatos mi viduta beda moha Maji sarira bhajam Prati drisham iva naika darkam mekam Samadhi gatos mi viduta beda moha. Any ladies? Vidhi vidhi dristitam atma kalpitanam. Pratidrisham iva nekadarkam mekam Samadhi samadhi gatosmi viduta beda moha. Tam, him, imam, this, aham, I, ajam, the unborn, sariravajam, of the conditioned souls endowed with bodies. Riddhi, riddhi, in each of the hearts, dishtitam, situated, atma, by themselves, kopitanam, which are imagined, pratidrisham, for every eye, eva, like, na ekada, not in one way, arkam, the sun, ekam, one, samadhigataha, one who is obtained, asmi, I am, viduta, removed, beda mohaha, whose misconception of duality. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace Srila Prabhupada. Grandfather Bhishma said, as the one sun appears differently situated to different seers, so also do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as the Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, no longer does he maintain such duality. Thus I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only your plenary portion. You can repeat. Grandfather Bhishma said, as the one sun appears differently, situated to different seers, so also do you, the unborn, appear differently represented as the Paramatma in every living being. But when a seer knows himself to be one of your own servitors, no longer does he maintain such duality. Thus I am now able to comprehend your eternal forms, knowing well the Paramatma to be only your plenary portion. Purport. This verse from Srimad Bhagavatam, First Canto, 9th Chapter, Text 42, was spoken by Bhishma Dev, the grandfather of the Kurus, when he was lying on a bed of arrows at the last stage of his life. Arjuna, Krishna, and numberless friends, admirers, relatives, and sages had gathered on the scene as Maharaj Yudhisthira took moral and religious instructions from the dying Bhishma. Just as the final moment arrived for him, Bhishma spoke this verse while looking at Lord Krishna. Just as the one sun is the object of vision of many different persons, so the one partial representation of Lord Krishna, who lives in the heart of every living entity as the Paramatma, is variously perceived object. One who comes intimately in touch with Lord Krishna by engaging in his eternal service sees the Supersoul as the localized partial representation of the Supreme Personality of Godhead. Bhishma knew the Supersoul to be a partial expansion of Lord Krishna, whom he understood to be the Supreme, Unborn, Transcendental Form. Amaginatumadam Dasya Ganan Jana Salakaya Chakshu unmilitam jena tasmai Sri Gurave Namaha. Sri Chaitanya manobistam stapitam jena bhutale svayavrupakadamayam dadati svapadandikam. Panchakalpa tirubhischa kripa sindubhya evacha. Patitanam pavanebhyo vaishnavebhyo namo namaha. Jaya Sri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda. Sri Advaita Gadadhar Sivasari Gaura Bhaktivinda. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. Bhishma Dev, his last words, just before he leaves his body, completely conscious, completely Krishna conscious, able to speak such wonderful verse. I couldn't help it, as I was reading it, remembering Maharaj, Kadambakanana Maharaj, who got to be there for the last hour. He was laying there very peacefully, breathing, until he just stopped breathing. There was no anxiety, there was no stress, there was no anxiousness as the breaths were getting further apart. He was completely ready to leave. This is the position of devotee, one who understands, super soul, the plenary portion of the Lord, the Supreme Lord Krishna. I was thinking today, it's almost the end of March 1973. Of course, I was with Prabhupada at this. For the whole year of 1973, I traveled with Srila Prabhupada. So, and at this time, Prabhupada was arranging to go to Bhaktivedanta Manor. But it, purchase was going through. It wasn't finished yet. So he had been in India for 6 months. He came here in October, mid-October, came here to Vrindavan for Kartik. But then he stayed October, November, December, January, went to Hyderabad, Ahmedabad, Mumbai, Calcutta, Mayapur. And then he was getting ready to go. So he was eager to see Bhaktivedanta Manor, but it wasn't prepared yet. So while he was in Mumbai, Juhu, he got a postcard. And it was a postcard of the Alps. That postcard particularly was in San Moritz area. And it was beautiful. Looked just like, what's it called in the Himalayas, the Valley of Flowers? Something, you know, in a beautiful meadow with all the wild flowers way high up in the mountains, kilometer up in the mountains, 2 kilometers up. Beautiful wild flowers. So Prabhupada was going to go to Johannesburg, Africa, but that was decided not a good idea at the time. It was a lot of disturbances going on at that time in Johannesburg. So he couldn't go to the manor yet. So anyway, devotee had given him this postcard and said, we can stop in Switzerland. We can stay there for 10 days or so. Until they have the manor ready, then we'll go to the manor. And if you saw this postcard, you would immediately say, this is a wonderful idea. It looks beautiful. Green mountains, going big foothills, and then the mountains and snow up the top. And Prabhupada agreed. Yes, we didn't have that. Prabhupada agreed to it. So they left Juhu, about 10-hour flight or so, I guess, 8-hour flight, 9 hours. And we arrive in Zurich right around this time. I think it was April 1st. But April 1st in Zurich, Switzerland, is not springtime. It was wintertime. And it was cold and there was snow on the ground. And, of course, there was another motive for going to Zurich at that time, right? Some of you are familiar with why Prabhupada went to Switzerland right in April 1973. Gold had just become deregulated. And for the first time, average people could buy gold. So Zurich was the very center of the market at that time. Anyway, you could buy it for $35 an ounce that time. If you had bought a kg or two, you would be very wealthy right now. But so then Prabhupada's there. And wherever he went, this is what I see with all of this. Prabhupada followed his program. He called it the, what's the word? Anyway, just the simple, can't think of the word right now, but the simple program, every day he did it. He did his morning program. Didn't matter. Regiment, yes, the ritual, his daily duty. He didn't see that if you're in the temple, you follow the morning program, but then when you start traveling, that's your vacation time. There was no vacation time when you traveled with Srila Prabhupada. Believe me, no vacation time. Always you had to be up every morning. Had to be up. If you didn't get up, he'd ring his bell and call you into his room and chastise you, his party. Just like our temple president. Chastise you. This is our business. So he would do that wherever he was. It didn't matter he was in a hotel room in Zurich. Morning program was there. Chanting our rounds are there. Even speaking Bhagavatam. Everything, he followed it every day. And he tried to have us understand, this is what you do. This is our program. So after that, it was decided, because Zurich was staying in a hotel, wasn't very nice. So then they decided, well, Prabhupada, go to St. Moritz. St. Moritz in the 70s, maybe even now, I don't know, but it was like one of the most famous ski resorts in the world for the rich and famous. So one day, it's about a two-hour ride on a train. Now, this is in Switzerland. Switzerland was very, very technologically advanced. I remember they had motion detectors, 1972, wherever you went, motion detectors. You went in the bathroom, motion detector. In the hallways, motion detectors, turning lights off and on. So the train was a very beautiful train. A little different from the expresses we travel. Very nice train, very nice. And there were three of us to travel together. Srila Prabhupada, of course. And the same thing in the train, he sat in the window seat. And then I'm sitting next to him. And next to me was this devotee from Pakistan, Jai Hari. He's the one that gave me that silk dhoti and kurta back in the day. That was Jai Hari. So we're on the train, and we're dressed, dhoti, kurta, shaved heads. Prabhupada, only three people, of course, in the whole city. And as we're going on the train, Jai Hari and myself, we're both like 21-year-old children. I hadn't been anywhere. Now I'm with Prabhupada, I'm all over the world. But this was the first time. And I'm seeing the Alps. It was beautiful. The mountains, and there was snow, it was snowing. But because it was snowing, everything was pure, white. And Jai Hari and me, Prabhupada's sitting right at the window, and we're completely oblivious. Just like we're oblivious to the super soul. That's spiritual master. He's your external manifestation. He's telling you what to do every moment. He's showing you what to do every moment. And Prabhupada's chanting, and Jai Hari and I are looking and pointing at, oh, look at this. And the train's weaving in and out of the mountains. It was beautiful. And we're just looking and talking, and Prabhupada just looked at me. He said, what do they call this place we're going? I said, I was so happy because it was an easy question, you know, to answer. You don't want a difficult question. I said, San Moritz, Prabhupada. We're going to San Moritz. St. Moritz. Prabhupada looked. He said, they may call it San Moritz. I call it St. Hellish. He said, not a living thing anywhere. Nothing, he said, just cold, cold snow, nothing, nothing. He knew what we were doing, and he just smashed us down. So you have no idea what's beautiful. We're looking at this, oh, it's so pretty and white and nice, pure. No, he said, hellish. He said, who can live in these conditions? Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna. It was all you could do. You grabbed your beads. You know, they were like your safety net. You know, it was like a teddy bear for us. You just hug your Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna, Krishna. And then Prabhupada, that was it. He was finished. He gave us his lecture. He explained to us, you're in hell here in this material world. You're thinking it's so nice. You even make the snow, you think it's nice, huh? So then we get there. And it's higher in the mountains. The whole time we're traveling up, up, up. So it's cold. But we get there. Switzerland didn't have... Very difficult. I think I made him chapatis out of suji. Suji chapatis. He said, you make suji. We had suji chapatis. We had halva. That's like all we were eating was they had suji. So then the next morning came. And again, I'm thinking, oh, this place was opulent. You know, it was a five-star resort. And we all had our own rooms. We were in this nice apartment, nice flat, three bedrooms in it, nice kitchen, everything bright and beautiful. But, you know, 2 kilometers up in the sky with snow constantly. So the next morning, 5 o'clock, he rings his bell. Morning program. Doesn't matter, it's like minus 20 Celsius and the wind's blowing 30, 40 miles an hour. None of this matters. Time for a morning walk. So we all get ready for the morning. We're still inside, and of course there's nice heat. It was the first time I slept in the bed with a duvet, with a nice down cover inside, you know, because it's so cold. And you're feeling very, everything was nice. I'm still thinking, this is wonderful here. So then we had a patio, so there's a sliding glass door that opens to the patio. So we still don't know what it's like outside. It's just starting to get a little bit light. Sunrise, morning walk, Prabhupada's morning walk. And he has his coat on, hood pulled up. We have a chadar, that's it. I come from India, so I have chappals and no socks and a chadar. And you get ready, because you do, everywhere around the world, you do the same thing. It doesn't matter, wherever you are, every place is the same. So then I slide the door open. This wind comes in and the snow is blizzard-like. You know, blizzard, like, winds blowing like crazy, and it came in the door, and the snow starts immediately flying in the door, and Prabhupada's eyes got the big, and he went, oh, I shut the door. He said, we'll walk in the hallway this morning. He didn't say no morning walk, which would have been fine by me. No, we're going to walk in the hallway, because every day you do your duty. Every day, doesn't matter what's going on outside, you have to perform your duty. So then, Prabhupada, Prajumna, and myself were walking up and down this long hallway, corridor, with the elevator. It was maybe 3 stories, but it was very long. But it was Switzerland, and they had motion detector lights. So if you were walking, the lights would stay on, but then sometimes they would go off, and they had buttons on the wall every now and then, every 10 meters or so, there'd be another button. So as we're walking and Prabhupada's chanting, quiet, And we're chanting, and Prajumna and I are chanting, and Prabhupada, we're walking. And every time I would see a button, I'd push it to keep the lights on. And we're walking back, and Prabhupada has his cane, and we're just walking back and forth. And after about 10 minutes, Prajumna, I have work to do. I'm not sure what he had, but he decided he couldn't walk anymore with us, Prabhupada and I. What you wouldn't give, huh, for a 5-minute walk with Srila Prabhupada. And Prabhupada and Prajumna left. So now it's Prabhupada and myself walking back and forth, just next to him. Super soul. We're walking and walking, and he looks at me. He said, "This cold's giving me an appetite." He said, "So they have suji." Said, "Yes, you can make halava for breakfast." He said, "When it's cold," he said, "your appetite increases." I said, "Well, after the walk, should I go now?" He said, "You can go." I said, "Yes, Prabhupada." So now he's by himself. We didn't leave Prabhupada by himself on walks. So now he's walking by himself, and I go in the room. Prajumna's right on the other side of the door. And he says, "What's going on?" I said, "Prabhupada wants halava." And then I thought, who's going to turn the lights on? You know, Prabhupada with his cane, yeah, he doesn't know what's going on. Who's going to turn the lights on? So I'm at the door. So we open the door, and Prajumna and I, and this is classic being around Prabhupada. If you weren't with him, you were at some doorway watching him. Just watching him. Just see how he moves his hand. See what he does in his bead bag. See if he talks, if you can hear something. So now we're watching him, and he's walking. And he has his cane, he's using his cane. And he comes up to one of the things, and he sticks his cane out, pushes the button. And he kept walking, and I thought, phew, Prabhupada just knew everything, you know. Like, we didn't think he would even, couldn't figure out how to use the dictaphone machine. He was expert on that microphone with the switch. You can see it in his room here. It has a rewind switch, has play, record. And he would go up and down. He would listen to what he would say. And just like translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. So anyway, then I went in, I cooked him his halava. He had halava, there was no fruits. Switzerland, in the freezing weather. But he had halava that morning. So he didn't stay the 10 days, of course. And the manor wasn't ready. So he went to America. He went to New York for a few days. And then he went to Los Angeles, where he stayed for some weeks. And that's where he started translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. Was in New Dwarka, Los Angeles, USA. It was right then in April. I told that story, how he started. I was his servant. I had been his servant for 8 months. And I was struggling following that program every day, no matter where you go, 2 o'clock in the morning, flying into places. I wasn't getting my rounds done. And one afternoon in Los Angeles, he rang the bell. I was sleeping. No one ever slept in the afternoon in those days. But in the course of traveling all over the place, Prabhupada would take a nap, I would take a nap. Because told me to follow him. So he was taking a nap, so I took a nap. But his nap was 15 minutes. My nap was going on, half hour, 40. I'm dreaming. And in my dream, I hear the bell. I incorporated it into the, you know, you do that in dreams. You incorporate the noises so you can sleep comfortably. I'm hearing the bell, and finally I heard the bell. And I run into Prabhupada's room. And I'm completely mode of ignorance. Like, I could see, anyone could see I had just woken up. But I'm down on the ground offering obeisances, and I'm exercising my eyelids, everything. So I could fool
my super soul.
But I'm down there and he's already yelling at me. He knows. He knows. Prabhupada knew everything, huh? Observing everything. Why aren't you chanting your rounds? While I'm down there, he said that to me. Of course, I didn't know what to say. I was still half asleep. And I said, Prabhupada, I'm sitting in my room all day. That was my excuse, that I'm in this room, this little room by myself, 24 hours a day. So, and he just looked at me. He didn't laugh, saying, you're really, that's stupid. That was ridiculous. He didn't laugh. He looked at me very seriously and said, what can we do? I don't know. He said, call Kurandar. Kurandar, he was, there was Prabhupada, and under Prabhupada was Kurandar. He was the number one devotee in the movement. He was in GBC. New Dwarka was the world headquarters. Prabhupada said to me once, he walked down one step to his garden. It was a concrete step. He said, you see this step? Yes, Prabhupada. He said, Kurandar made that step. He said, Kurandar can do anything. He had me call him. So now we go. I get Kurandar across the street. We go. We offer our obeisances. Kurandar, very serious. Never had a smile. Prabhupada says, Sruta Kirti's not getting his rounds done. He says, and he says it's because he's sitting in his room all day. He said, so what can we do? Immediately, Kurandar's face had that look, thinking. Prabhupada said, I have an idea. He said, I'm translating Srimad Bhagavatam here in the sitting room. He said, so the other sitting room is there. He said, Sruta Kirti, do you know how to type? He knew I knew how to type. I was typing letters, his letters sometimes. He said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, Kurandar, he said, so you can get another dictaphone machine and you put it in that room. He said, and I'll begin translating Chaitanya Charitamrita. He said, and Sruta Kirti, he said, then you can do the transcription and the typing. Yes? I said, yes. He said, and then you'll have some service to do. Yes? I said, yes, Prabhupada. He said, and then you'll get your rounds done. I said, yes. What else are you going to say? I said, yes. He spent 10, 15 minutes solving my problem without any... He never made me feel bad about what was going on. He only wanted to solve the problem as I presented it. He didn't try to change how I presented it. Well, what do you mean? You're in your, you can walk around in your room, you can do... No, he saw what I had and he solved it, just like that. Kurandar got the dictaphone machine, put it in the room. I was all very excited. I thought, I'm going to be part Chaitanya Charitamrita, typing, like all the Matajis, are, you know, Prajumna's wife, Arundhati, always typing. Most of the time it was the ladies were doing this transcribing for Srila Prabhupada. But now he asked me to do it with Chaitanya Charitamrita. So the next morning, we go out on the morning walk, 5:30 in the morning, and I'm thinking, I have work. So I'm chanting vigorously, chanting my rounds, thinking I have to get my rounds done so I can do my service. It was a very strange feeling. And it was just Prabhupada's taking care, caring. So then I came back from the morning walk. I checked before the morning walk because he translates 1 o'clock in the morning, 2 o'clock in the morning, 3 o'clock in the morning. He's doing this. And I see the tape on that Grundig. I see that little reel of tape on there that he's done. So I already grab it. I can't wait to get back. And they're greeting the deities, class, breakfast. And then I do my thing. I have my rounds finished. The next morning, there was no tape in there. The next morning, no tape in there. But I was chanting 16 rounds a day again. Just because he cared. I saw him care for everyone. You know, mine's a very funny place. I saw how much love he gave to everyone. But I didn't think I was one of those people. I was just as, somehow or other, I was with him. Panchi Goda said to me just this morning, "Hey, be Prabhupada's servant." I said, "Who can explain such a position? It's impossible. Nothing you can do would give you that opportunity, that facility. There's not some work you can do, huh? Just like there's no work we can do to go back home, back to Godhead. What we can do is give our lives to Srila Prabhupada. And that's what we can do, huh?" All these things now, every day we're reading about the gopis and the gopis' love. As long as we have any material desire, there's no understanding of what's going on here without thinking somewhere I'm enjoying. Huh? But I saw that with Prabhupada. His pleasure was his service. Wherever he was, all of the time. Whether he was in the train, looking at the snow, looking at these two crazy young boys, still thinking, ah, there's pleasure, there's enjoyment. And he's saying, no, it's all hell, hellish condition. But he made being with him such a pleasure. I would walk into his room one day, he was playing his stomach. Prabhupada had a little, we say Brahmin belly. And Prabhupada had Brahmin belly. And he was playing it like it was a mridanga. And he said it to me. He said he liked the mridanga. Another time I walked in, he was tapping. He said, "By the sound, you can tell the health of your organs." So he would give you, one morning when he pointed, one morning, it was in Hyderabad, he pointed, he showed me the pole star. He said, "This is pole star." He looked, he showed me. Another morning he pointed to the moon. He said, "Today is Ekadasi." He said, "Just by seeing the moon, you know when Ekadasi is." So he made everything just a delight to be around, because anything he said, it was knowledge for us. Huh? It gave us all our knowledge. So that's how we started Chaitanya Charitamrita. That was April. So now we go back to the manor. Finally he goes to the manor. It's September. April, May, June, July, August, September. And one day in the mail, he gets the very first book of Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was called Lord Chaitanya in Five Features. It was a paperback book, and it was, I don't know how many chapters it was of the first chapter of Adi Leela. And of course, when he received any book, Prabhupada's ecstasy just increased. And there's a series of pictures. You can see Prabhupada on the lawn at the manor. Sometimes you'll see me holding a book. He had me read the entire book to him one day after the next. Every afternoon, the sun was shining at that time in England. It was beautiful weather, which was doesn't happen often. You have sunny, sunny days, one after another, after another. So we'd sit on that lawn every afternoon. Anyone could come and sit down. And Prabhupada would sit there, and he'd always say, "Read." So all he would say, "Read." Just hearing. And I would read. And then the one day he said to one of the Indian guests, "Just see, he pronounces Bengali so nicely." He said, "He doesn't know one word of Bengali." That was the compliment. "He doesn't know any Bengali, but he's saying it so nicely," because I was reading, of course, transliterations. But he was happy. He was very happy when he saw his disciples reading his books. If he would find you somewhere in a corner reading, he'd become very happy. Because he knew reading, we would say back in the early days, we would say there are two kinds of devotees, bookworm and an earthworm. You know the difference. The bookworm and the earthworm, he's always working. And back in the New Vrindavan, we were told all the time, you're earthworms. We didn't get to read. I would read while everyone ate lunch. That's how our reading would go on. During prasadam time, I was designated reader at that time. But this was Prabhupada's program. And especially these classes, again, as mentioned the other day, it's a wonderful example to see the authority in the temple at the morning program every day. Prabhupada wrote a letter about that one time. You may be very advanced, even in the 70s, right? You wouldn't see sometime the GBC, temple presidents. They're big, big devotees. And Prabhupada wrote a letter. You're very advanced, but you should set the example for others. This was his program. This, you're so advanced, so do something with it. Not that you go hide on your own somewhere. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. No, he said, set the example for everyone. This is Prabhupada's society. So Prabhupada's classrooms. Morning walk. Everything he did was Krishna conscious. He showed us how to be Krishna conscious in everything. I said we would just watch. Devotees would just watch to see how he chanted on his beads, to see how he turned, to see his smile, everything. It was very wonderful. Anyone, everyone that was there, Prabhupada made thousands of devotees, and they would all do anything for him. Like he said, and he would do anything. Most important thing we can give to Prabhupada is our loyalty. He said, they asked me what the quality of Prabhupada, all the qualities are wonderful, which one I appreciate the most. And it vacillates. Sometimes I'll just say his sense of humor. To see a devotee that can laugh and smile, that's also very wonderful. And that I appreciated. But his loyalty to his disciples. Once that devotee was here in India, in Calcutta, and he was smoking ganja. It happens. And they told Prabhupada, one of his Western disciples, Prabhupada, he's smoking ganja. Prabhupada said, you tell him he continues to smoke, I reject him. Yes, Prabhupada. And then Tamal Krishna said, Prabhupada, is it true? He said, if he smokes, you're going to reject him? Prabhupada said, no. He said, I cannot reject anyone. He said, I can't reject anyone. One time, two times, three times, doesn't matter. Always take you back. This is loyalty. When we did our dandavats in front of him, taking initiation, we made a vow. He also made a vow. Goes both ways. He made the vow. Not just that you say, I'm taking initiation from Prabhupada. No. He also has to say, I accept you. And then he makes a vow to take you back home, back to Godhead. He said, but don't make it difficult for me. Don't make me come back. That's loyalty. Even I have to come back, I'm going to come back because I made that arrangement. I made that vow. And we also made that vow. We can walk away if we're foolish enough to think there's something better somewhere else. There's somewhere else I can go. I told you, I was trained. I was trained never to leave my room. That's what I said. I'm in my room all day, Prabhupada. He didn't say, okay, leave, go out. I'll give you a 1 hour a day. You can go walk around, go to the mall, go do this. No, he didn't say that. Fine, you're in your room. You're supposed to be. He said to me, I'm in my room all day. He said, you're in your room all day. That's how he responded when I said, I'm sitting in my room all day. He said, I'm sitting in my room all day. You're sitting in your room. Like we're the same. He said it to me like, what's the difference? We're both sitting in our room. He said, and every morning we go out on the morning walk together. So he's saying, you and I were doing the same thing. And then we come back. What's your problem? I said, Prabhupada, you're Haridas Thakur. I said, who am I sitting in this room? So then he made arrangement. I have to give this boy something to do. He's banging his head against the wall in his room, doesn't know what to do. But he stayed in that room. That much I did. Here I stayed in the room. Everywhere I stayed in the room 24 hours a day. Because that was my service. He said, no Mangalartik. I went to Mangalartik. He yelled at me for going to Mangalartik. You have no business going to Mangalartik. What if I need something? Yes, Prabhupada. He never needed anything. But I had to be there just in case. You have to know what your service is and perform it to the best of your ability. And you'll get all success. It's not a difficult. Prabhupada said the process is very easy. Our determination is difficult. Here in Vrindavan, 100 times, Prabhupada said, whatever you do, 100 times. I think it's like 100 times more difficult here, Vrindavan. Vrindavan tests you. But we love it. We're so fortunate to be in this place. You don't know. So many, they'll say, oh, I went to Vrindavan when there were nice Parakram paths, Braj Raj you could walk on, no honking horns, no this, no that. All that's external. Prabhupada said even the hogs are getting liberated. Nothing has changed in Vrindavan. You see with your eyes. You think it smells bad. You think it's dirty. You think this. You think it's too crowded. You think it's too much of a city. He said, still, everyone born in Vrindavan, dies in Vrindavan, goes back to Godhead. Everyone. And if you do something wrong, you come back as the animal. And then still you go back to Godhead after little punishment for a few years. Such a special place. To be in this place, we say Prabhupada left Vrindavan because he brought Vrindavan everywhere. But this is still Vrindavan. There's a difference. Krishna appeared here. He's non-different from Goloka Vrindavan. This is where we're living. So we have to step up. We have to become serious. I'm talking to myself. In this place, if you want to stay here, and you'll get all wonderful results. This is why our God brothers, God sisters, they're coming here just to die in this place. Prabhupada set that example as well. It's not an ordinary place. It's not like every other place. This is Prabhupada's home. We come here, we're living in Prabhupada's home. All your rooms, they're part of Prabhupada's residence. So we have to become serious. We're given such an opportunity to be in this place. Prabhupada said, don't waste it. Don't waste this human life. Especially don't waste this human life here in Vrindavan. So the bell is rung. We can stop here. Can handle one or two questions.
So the Chaitanya Charitamrita that Prabhupada was translating, was that the condensed, the teachings of the Lord Chaitanya, or was it the actual Chaitanya Charitamrita?
It was Chaitanya Charitamrita.
And then from that, they put together Bengali, the five features.
Yeah, so that was, Lord Chaitanya in five features is part of the Chaitanya Charitamrita. It was the first chapters. They wanted to put something out very quickly because Prabhupada, you know, he always wanted to see the results. We say we're not attached to results, but Prabhupada always wanted to see the results. He's working so hard, he said. I'm working so hard. Where are the books? Why aren't they coming out? We know, wait, 17, we all know the history, the story, 17 volumes. They were behind. So Prabhupada wasn't pleased. That's our business, to please Srila Prabhupada. If you can please Srila Prabhupada, everything is taken care of. But even that pleasure has different levels, you know. He's happy. Just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. He says that as well. He said that to me as well. But when I told him I wanted to leave, he wasn't happy. He didn't say just chant Hare Krishna, be happy. He said, I don't like to change my servants. So then what do you say? He doesn't say, no, don't leave. Because he already knows what you're going to do. So he doesn't allow you to make a greater offense. It's already an offense. You're offending. He said, I don't like to change my servants. Imagine. Imagine the audacity. I said, Prabhupada, I want to preach. He knew that was a lie.
Good line.
He said, my preaching's not good enough. Imagine, he wants you to do your service, whatever it is. I wasn't a book distributor. I wasn't selling hundreds of books a day. But my service was important. He was distributing tens of thousands of books every day. There were all his books going out. He was putting them out there. What business did I have thinking I could do something better? You just find your spot, do your service. So that's our business.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. Quick question. You said Prabhupada's quality of loyalty. You know, so the spiritual master goes back to Godhead, right? And let's say, I mean, a good disciple will also go, but let's say a disciple is not able to go. You know, and he is in this, let's say, higher planets or whatever. So how does the spiritual master then comes back? Like, does he expand or something like that? Or does he send one of his representatives? How does that work?
I haven't had the opportunity to know, but they, yeah, definitely can expand. It can be in more than one place at a time. Prabhupada says that, the devotee, he can be in different places, so he can expand. He can do it through another person. He can come in a dream. Not that he's going to be walking side by side, holding your hand the whole time, but he'll knock you on your head, try to knock some sense into you. So those things will come. Even within this life, it happens sometimes, you know, and you get a. So he can come in any number of ways. But he says, he does make the point, don't make me come back. So he's always encouraging, get your business done and get out of here. That's devotee. And that's why you read. That's why it's important to read. The more you read, the more you'll understand. Krishna is the Supreme Personality. I'm his servant. If I want to be happy, just serve. Do your service.
Yeah. Thank you, Prabhu.
Okay.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, I have a question about residing in Vrindavan. From what I understand, Srila Prabhupada didn't want us to reside in Vrindavan. He wanted us to come and get charged in Vrindavan and then go to preach. So how do you reconcile this need to reside in Vrindavan, that we really want to reside in Vrindavan, and knowing that we'll not please Srila Prabhupada in that way?
Yes. Somebody was speaking to me the other day, asking me if Prabhupada would be happy. They went and lived in Radhakund, chant 64 rounds a day. And I said, well, Prabhupada explains, Radhakund is not for preaching, right? It's for relishing. This temple, of course, there's hundreds of devotees in this temple doing service. Is what I see, to remain in Vrindavan, it's very important to have service. A service within Prabhupada's framework to remain safe in Vrindavan. You know, we heard that the other day when one devotee wanted to leave, I think it was sannyasi, go to the west, open a farm, and Prabhupada said, your service here better than opening 20 farms. So he considered also very, very important. But he wanted it for his disciples all over the world to come here because it's special. To come here and take advantage of the atmosphere in Vrindavan. Yes, for whether it's for some days or for a few weeks. And then, like you say, go back and be recharged. But to come here, and we see, for those of us that have lived here for some time, you can see Vrindavan is... Definitely tests you. And we can pass or we fail. And again, we pick ourselves up and carry on. But to be here is certainly very special. But in the same way, Prabhupada said, 100 times, your offenses 100 times. Not just your service. What you do good, what you do bad is also 100 times. So, you know, we can get our knocks here. But those somehow or other... And he did say also retirement in Vrindavan. For those when you reach a certain age, you can come and retire. But he also says devotees never retire. They retire to do more service. So everything revolves around following and doing service, you know, for protection and to always pray for protection. Karbhajan, you can be the last.
Hare Krishna. Oh, you were speaking about Prabhupada was smoking and he said you will ask him to go out. But he said no, he will not allow him to go out. So how we can understand that sometimes we remove devotee out. So how that we can understand?
Well, he certainly wouldn't let him stay in if he continued. So that was always the point. If one... sorry for what they have done. They come back, they ask forgiveness, they atone. Prabhupada said, you can never. He said, this is Lord Chaitanya's movement, Lord Nityananda. So they accept anyone. That's what he said in that lecture in Atlanta. You know, he said, Krishna is very kind, but he requires surrender. He said, but Lord Chaitanya, Lord Nityananda, they're just distributing love of God. Whatever you do, they don't mind. They're giving Hare Krishna to everyone. Yes. He said that in a few places. Hawaii was one of them. No crazies and lazies in the temple. So that comes under the crazies and lazies. It does make you a bit lazy. But he also understood that these bad habits, they'll fall away. He would always say... chant. That's why he stressed chanting. Always chanting no matter what. All right. Hare Krishna Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. Thank you.